The healthcare detective, Frank Lally, has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines and a senior advisor to healthcare.com. I call him the senior advisor to healthcare.com. And here he is.
Ah, here I am.
Here you are. I wonder what you're going to talk about.
I wish there was another subject that on the top of our minds, but unfortunately it's not true. Look, here's something that surprised me. A shocking 13% of Americans, I'm talking about one person out of eight, got the coronavirus last month. One person out of eight. But now the coronavirus, this Omicron variant, is plummeting as fast as it rose. It's down more than 60% in 2 weeks with no bottom in sight. So for the third time in 2 years, we can say we've gotten through a COVID surge. Now the question is, what's next? There are lots of reasons to be optimistic about a return to more or less normal times, including factors like this. We have booster shots available for nearly everyone. And we could have vaccines for kids as young as 6 months in just a matter of days. And as the Omicron variant recedes, we can't wait to put COVID behind us. Around 70% of Americans say it's time to, quote unquote, live with COVID and get on with our lives. What a wonderful sentiment. Even as we continue to have 250,000 new cases a day, lawmakers all across the country are rolling back vaccine and mask mandates. Some call it the great unmasking. But there are also reasons to hold off on the victory dance. Remember last summer, just last summer, Connecticut, for example, had close to zero cases and only 25 patients in the state's hospitals. Then along came Delta, followed by Omicron, right? So, could yet another variant sweep this country? You bet it could. So here's my message. Don't drop your guard. Even if COVID becomes endemic rather than pandemic, it's still a danger. Tuberculosis, malaria, they're endemic, and they still kill hundreds of thousands of people each year in this country. So continue to wear your masks around strangers, and please stay up to date with your vaccines. Fact is, two jabs, that's so-called fully vaccinated, that isn't enough. The shot's effectiveness drops after 5 or 6 months, leaving you increasingly vulnerable to the coronavirus. And if you got COVID and you think, hey, I got COVID, I got past COVID, now I've got these antibodies that drove it away. Well, those antibodies that developed are going to fade away in just 3 months. Worst of all, our shockingly low vaccination rates in this country and haphazard attitudes toward mask wearing are all but inviting another variant. We're providing tens of millions of unvaccinated hosts to breed new variants. Meanwhile, even before this great unmasking, one person out of three wasn't wearing a mask or avoiding groups. And worse, nearly 40% of the unmasked are also unvaccinated. Think about that the next time you walk into a supermarket and you see people unmasked. Up to now, 40% of them were unvaccinated as well. That means tens of millions of us remain far more likely to get COVID, maybe for the second time or the third time, and yet again make people around them sick. One more inconvenient fact. If you're unvaccinated, you are 20 times more likely to die from COVID than the vaccinated. So, Jill, look, you know I'm not easily surprised, but are you ready for some statistics that frankly shocked me?
Yes, and then I'm going to trade you one that shocked me. So you go first.
Okay. Well, our country's record of fighting COVID is below dismal. I mean, I had no idea it was this bad. Among all high-income nations across the world, we have more than double the COVID rates per capita. Double. Then Sweden, Germany, the Netherlands, Canada, Australia, and Japan, and so on. Why? Because one person out of five of us, around 70 million, are not vaccinated. Even though the vaccines are free, they're available, they're safe, they're up to 95% effective. We also have far fewer people with two shots. We're at around 65%. That's versus about 80% for nearly every other big nation. And only 27% of us, one out of four, are boosted even though we're eligible for that third shot. That's half the rate of Belgium, United Kingdom, Germany, France, and so on. So far, only 40% of the 86 million people eligible for a third shot have gotten it. Though you need that third jab, especially if you're over, say, 60 or 65, I mean, roughly 75% of the 2,500 of us who are dying of COVID right now, every day, are over 65. I mean, Israel has gone a step further. It's offering a fourth shot to anyone over 60. And I think you know this, Jill. I got my fourth shot 2 weeks ago for several reasons. I'm well over 65. I have a history of blood cancer, and I got the shot more than 5 months after my third jab. So, look, I felt my immunity system needs a big boost. I went out and got it. By the way, getting the shot was awfully simple, right? I made an appointment online at CVS. 2 days later, I was in and out. I had no side effects. It was all free, of course. They didn't give me a lollipop, I asked, but that was my only disappointment. So, look, if you're undecided about the third jab or the fourth shot, you can get an antigen blood test from your doctor to see what your levels of antibodies are against the coronavirus. A couple of my friends of mine have done that, and as a result have held off. They had high levels of antibodies. They said, okay, we can wait. In the meantime, they're being careful. So, Jill, before I turn to vaccines for young kids, do you have any questions, I guess statistics, about my boosters or my decision to get a fourth shot, or that stat you want to share with me?
Well, I think everybody should obviously do what they want to do. I would actually go reverse on you. You know, you say our rates are dismal, but all of the people who have had COVID, you say we are the most highly vaccinated. The data that I wanted to convey to you is from Australia, and mm-hmm. it is their weekly. The government, it's the New South Wales government COVID-19 weekly surveillance report. And it is from the week of 2nd of January to 8th of January. Mm-hmm. And it is percentage of COVID-19 hospitalizations, ICU patients by vaccination status in New South Wales, Australia, 2nd January to 8th of January, 22. And percentage of vaccinated and unvaccinated. Mm-hmm. ICU and hospitalizations. The percentage of vaccinated hospitalizations is 95%. Unvaccinated.
95% of people in Australia, you're telling us. Okay.
95%.
In this country, Jill, number one, we are not the most highly vaccinated. That's number one. Number two, more than half, it's probably more like 60 or 70% of the people with severe illness and dying from COVID are unvaccinated.
So here is the ICU.
I do not accept the premise that we are the most vaccinated. We are not. And I do not accept the premise that if you're vaccinated, you're more likely to get it sick. That's just not true.
Okay. So I was struck by this data, and the ICU thing is 90% vaccinated.
So. All right. Moving on. So while it's true that we're talking about young kids now, while it's true that young kids tend to get mild cases, still, 1.6 million kids under five have tested positive for the coronavirus. And when they get sick, they get very sick, because the hospitalized young kids, that they're at a rate of three times higher than teenagers. And sadly, I hate to report this, but kids, 12 kids a month under the age of five are dying of COVID. That's every month, 12 kids. So Pfizer is asking for emergency use of a vaccine for kids under 5 years old, though their test results remain kind of sketchy. Their low-dose vaccine seemed very effective for the very young. Now I'm talking about babies from about 6 months to toddlers at around 2 years of age. But the shots for kids aged 2 to 4 appear only about 30% effective, maybe 50% effective. But the thinking is those kids will need a third booster. Then it'll work. So they should start getting jabbed now So they're in line, on schedule, to get the third shot probably by May. Now, problem is, that's only a theory. Pfizer won't have the data on the third shot for the kids 2 to 4 for another month. But look for the FDA next week to okay shots for kids as young as 6 months old. Then the question will be, will parents line up their little ones for shots? Look, I think 2 parents out of 3 will not go for the shots. After all, half the kids 12 to 17, they're eligible for shots, right? They're not vaccinated, right? Half of them. Though the vaccines are extremely effective for those teenagers against even symptoms, yet they're not getting the shots. And only 20% of kids 5 to 11 have gotten 2 shots. So resistance to the vaccines is just built in. Built into this country. One parent told me her young daughter was just too skinny to get the shot. Too skinny? What is that? Skinny has nothing to do with this. And that mother is intelligent. She's very accomplished. I admire her. She's a wonderful person. What do you say to someone who says, my kid is too skinny to get the shot? I can only add that our family isn't hesitating. Both our grandsons, they're 12 and 18, are fully vaccinated, and our youngest daughter will have her very cute 3-year-old Gigi, red hair and blue eyes, 3 years old. She'll be at the front of the vaccine lines this month. As I said, look, the coronavirus is with us, so let's learn to live with it by keeping our guard up.